Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 70 of season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again in order to finish off the week and try to redeem herself is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me back. I am very excited to redeem myself today or embarrass myself further. Either way, I hope you enjoy.
We will always love you here on the show anyway.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say or do.
There's no points. It's all just made up anyway.
That's right. That's right. That works well. It's like whose line is it anyway?
Exactly.
Yeah. So minute 70 begins with Blue continuing with his commands and ends with Blue trying to gain some respect from Green.
Yeah.
So basically we ended things yesterday with Tweedledum and Tweedledee finally getting all the way over to the train after having to climb over the two dead bodies on the way. And they are giving commands to lift up the money and put it in the put it on the train. And today Blue continues by saying, "Into the cab." And he goes, "Push it up." And then he looks at them and goes, "Thank you." Which is a very funny way for him to do this.
It's polite.
Yeah.
And it's such an odd time.
That's right. And then he goes, "Now turn around, go home to your wives and children. Keep your hands up. Just take it very easily." So he's being very gracious here, you know, after mercilessly killing Bud just a few days ago. He finally is feeling generous, doesn't want to kill these two guys, doesn't want an all-out war because he wants his money. He doesn't want anything else. And
yeah, this is a job.
That's right. He just lets Tweedledum and Tweedledee off the hook. And it's nice that he even says to them, you know, "Go home to your wives and children. You're going to be fine."
Well, he doesn't, after what happened last time too, he doesn't want anybody to panic and do something crazy or stupid. He's controlling the situation by doing this, I think.
Correct. But after what happened earlier with Bud, I wouldn't believe him if he says this type of thing. Because he says, "Turn around and get out of here." And it's like, okay, you know, theoretically, he could just shoot them in the back at that
point. Is what he did to Bud.
That's my point. And they saw it.
Yeah.
So yeah. These guys are definitely crapping in their pants. There's no question about that. Because they don't know if they need to really believe him or not. If he tells them to you know, get out of here. So, yeah, I don't know. Not really sure. Yeah, but the two of them just turn around and shuffle off into the distance.
Because what other choice do they really have?
That's right.
Yeah, if they want to live, a shootout is not the answer. And clearly, they are not. Yeah. Well, they don't want to instigate anything either. They clearly are terrified. There's no confusion about these guys being scared and not happy about where they're at.
None whatsoever. So then we get a shot of the hostages watching them walk away. And, you know, then Blue says to Brown, "Shut the door, Mr. Brown, will you?" And Brown then, agilely closes the door, even though he's, you know, he's been shot, but he's still able to do it pretty easily. And Mr. Blue picks up the bag, and we see the hostages looking at this bag also. And, you know, the bag says U.S. Federal Reserve. And then we get a shot of Gray, who like licks his lips,
yeah,
as if he's like really happy that he's about to get, you know, finally get to see this money. And Blue opens it, and then they have a great shot of Green, which like closes. It's a close up on him. You know, the camera gets close to him as he's watching also what's going on, and we see like his face twitch a little bit. You know, also anticipating, waiting to see what's going to happen. And then Blue turns over the bag and dumps all the contents out. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier this week, the continuity here is great because every one of the bills, and I've looked at all the bills that we see fall on the ground, are either 50s or 100s, which is exactly what they asked for. You know, again, it's very possible that underneath that they don't have real 50s or 100s. That's fine. But what we can see are all 50s or 100s. So
Do you
they.
know it what this amount of money translates into today?
I have looked it up. Did you look it up yourself?
No, I was just asking you because you know everything.
I do know. I believe, if I remember correctly, it's 7 million, but I'm going to check that again.
So it's a huge payday, and it's definitely more money. It's like the Dr. Evil, $1 million, not knowing now that it's $100 million is what we're
That's
supposed
right.
to do. So for anyone who's listening that might not, realize how much $1 million was back then, because now it doesn't seem as much. 7 million's a lot though.
Okay, so $1 million, it's $6.5 million. That's what it
All right.
is.
So it'd be today, that would be $6.5 million. That's a
Yeah.
lot.
Again, relatively. I mean, as you said, Dr. Evil still wouldn't, that wouldn't be even close to what he should be asking for. But yeah. But they can make a Steve Austin out of this money now.
Well, and two, it's enough that it is worth the risk, but it's also little enough that he knew that they'd be able that they knew that they would be able to come up with the money if they had to on short notice like this and get away with it. It's the Goldilocks amount.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I
But
like the way
still
you
more than
clarify it that way.
well, just right. But I'm just looking at it that way too, because these are people who are riding the subway. They're just regular everyday people. That is a whole lot of money to them. To all of them, and even our robbers here, our hijackers, they are looking at it like they've never seen that much money either. Like he said, Gray's licking his lips, and Green is his mouth is twitching a bit. They're all having a reaction to the money. Everybody, no matter their station or their purpose for being there. And I think that that's, I mean, it's pretty significant.
And
Money
again,
can change a lot of things.
yes, it can, both good and bad. Correct. And at this point, we get a shot of numerous the hostages all being shocked at the amount of money, that they see on the ground here. You have the mother and her two boys that are in shock. We have, I believe that we figured out that she's maybe the secretary is looking at it, and then the prostitute is also looking at it, and everyone's just shocked about it. And we get another shot of Green, who like shakes his head back and forth as he's looking at it. And the music they have here is great also for this particular scene, the way that they're doing this. And then we hear a whistle. Mr. Gray whistles, and then Blue says, "Mr. Gray." One of the hostages goes, "Jesus H. Christ!" And we hear someone else talking like a foreign language. We don't know who it is. And then we get a shot of one of the other hostages who we've never heard him speak before, and I believe that he's the Wasp. That would be my guess. Where he says, "I've never seen $1 million in my life before." The actor who plays the character of the Wasp is Barry Snyder, and this is his only movie credit on IMDb. Again, I'm not 100% sure that this is him, but it's very possible. So, do you know what a wasp is?
Is that a term for an Italian?
No, that's a
Or
wop. A wop
a
is the
wop.
Italian term that you're referring to.
Okay. Then
And
no, I clearly do not.
a wasp is an abbreviation for white Anglo-Saxon Protestants or wealthy
Oh,
Anglo-Saxon Protestants. You've never heard of the term a wasp before? Wow.
I have, but clearly I didn't know. But yes, I've heard of it. I've
Right,
heard of
so
it.
it's a sociological term which is often used to describe white Protestant Americans of English or British descent who are generally part of the white dominant culture and who belong to Protestant denominations. And obviously, this is in contrast to Catholics, Jews, Irish immigrants,
Yeah.
Southern or Eastern Europeans, anyone who's non-white.
Oh, and that's literally what his title is. I'm
Yes,
looking it up on IMDb
that's
now.
right. That's what he's called. He's called the Wasp. They all of the hostages. We never know who any of them are besides the way that the credit describe them, I guess you can say.
The secretary, the mother, not the prostitute, but the hooker, which, okay. The old man, the alcoholic. It's very much so. Okay.
So they claim that the idea of a wasp is the people that are part of the establishment, in the
Yeah.
U.S., and that they play a central role in finance, politics, philanthropy, and things like that.
Okay.
So it's just funny that they just refer to one of these guys as a wasp.
It is. Like I said, all of them, you're right. They all have not just passenger, not hostage. They
That's right.
are sort of characterized. It's interesting.
That's right. And then Blue says, "You can load up first, Mr. Gray." Now that's like, why do you think he would let Gray go first by picking up this money? Because I would think the opposite, that Gray should be the final one to pick it up, because once Gray has a quarter of that amount of money, you definitely don't know what he's going to do.
That's true,
So,
but
yeah, I don't know.
I'll, yeah, but also, I don't know.
Maybe he
He's
wants to
blue.
keep Gray busy,
Yeah, yeah.
that his hands are busy collecting the money instead of doing other things.
Or yeah, just showing to him, hey, I'm in charge here, but I'll let you go first.
Maybe.
But also, but he's still controlling the situation.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a posturing thing or if there's a strategic reason for it, but it seems like there is and there would be because he does purposely single him out.
And then he starts walking away, and then he turns to Green and says, "I'll load up as soon as I talk to Garber." Which, again, makes no sense whatsoever. Like, what? First of all, why does he need to talk to Garber before he's going to take his money? And second of all, why does he need to tell Green
Yeah.
And Green walks with him, and Green goes, "All that money. I can't believe it."
He's the only one who doesn't seem entranced by the money either.
Oh, he's entranced. He's definitely entranced by it.
He doesn't seem like he is in the same way that everybody else is.
No, wait, blue or green?
Blue.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about green. Yeah, blue definitely
No,
seems like
green
it.
definitely is. Blue doesn't seem like he is,
No, blue's
compared
not.
to the rest of them.
No.
Yeah, it's
Blue.
almost a disconnect for him.
Correct.
So Which why? We never find out why he took this job either.
Right. I would assume, based on what we know of blue, that the reason he took this job is the challenge, not necessarily for the money.
Maybe I would buy that more than anything else. That makes the most sense. Clearly, he is a career criminal. He's
Yes.
really good at this. He knows what he's doing, and his disinterest in the money would totally follow through with that idea. Yeah, yeah.
I agree. And
The
then
rest of
Green.
them, there's a certain level of desperateness about them.
Correct. Well, again, Green, we know he needs money because he's been kicked out of the transit of he's been kicked out of being a driver. Okay. Brown, we don't know enough about him, but Gray, we know that theoretically he was kicked out of the mafia, so therefore he needs money also. So blue, the only thing we know is that he was a soldier of fortune.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I think for him it's more of the challenge. That would be my guess.
I would agree with you on that.
And then Green says something very strange. He goes, "I'm gonna die today."
I know. I feel like I understand that, though. I feel like that's okay, everything has worked out. I'm getting the things that I want. Life doesn't usually work out for me this way, so I'm definitely doomed. It's a bit nihilistic, but it goes in tune with how he's been for. Plus, he's the old man here. He's like the one guy who it's kind of like this is his last chance at a big score,
It's his only chance at a big score. He's not a criminal.
So for him, he's like, I've done this. It's worked. It's so far, it's working out. There's no way I'm gonna get away with this. That makes total sense to me.
Okay, could be. And then Blue starts to answer him and goes, well, and then he gets cut off. So people are going to have to wait until Monday to find out what it is that Blue is going to say.
And without me, sorry.
No, sorry. Sorry, we will have someone else here to talk about that. So, Heather, did you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute?
No, just thank you for having me on this week and
We're not done
also
yet.
giving me,
We're not done
I
yet.
know, I just still want to say thank you. And these were some really, really cool scenes. So I was very, very excited to dissect them. Obviously, I've been enthusiastic, as I usually am.
I'm glad that you were once again enthusiastic, as always. Okay. All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Fun City Friday, where my guests will give their top five movies that somehow feature New York. So Heather, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up, as always.
There is an obscene amount of movies that take place in New York. There
Yes,
is
there is.
absolutely no, yeah, there's absolutely no way to like really narrow it down. So I gave myself a couple little things to sit there and do. I picked movies that prominently focused on the city that, and ones that also you kind of got a sense and feel of the city. And I've never been to New York City proper. So for me, I'm giving the ones that I felt like I kind of got the vibes of the city. Number
Yeah,
five is American
I
Psycho.
remember that you told me that you never been to New York.
Yep.
I thought you were going to remedy that in the last was it 6 seasons since then? Because
Yeah. I haven't been able to. The closest I've gotten, we went to Niagara Falls a couple weeks ago. That
okay,
was it.
that's fair.
But not the city yet. And my husband has been wanting to go back. He grew up in Jersey, so he loves New York City too. All right. Number five is American Psycho. Number four is Coming to America. I love that movie, but I really, really love how it shows the city too. Number three is King Kong, the 2005 version. I love all of the city shots. I almost said shots. All the
City
city
sound.
shots in it. It's one of my, I love that movie. And if you don't like it and you don't like Peter Jackson's version, you can saw it off because you're wrong. Number three, all right, that was number three. Number two is When Harry Met Sally. Like when I was a kid and I saw it for the first time, that's what I imagined New York City is. I got like actual vibes from it. Like it was a really living, breathing entity, not just a city. And number one is Goodfellas. And that's it.
All right, that is a great list. Thank you very much, Heather.
I would have Ghostbusters. I wanted to add desperately in there, so I'm just going to add that as an honorable mention.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that it wasn't there. I figured it would be.
I put American Psycho in because it gave a different kind of context and texture to the city, and I freaking love that movie. It's so good.
That actually does not surprise me at all that you would like a movie like that.
Nope, not shocking at all. That's definitely my wheelhouse.
Yes, I completely understand that. All right, so let us play for one final time this season. Name that remake, and let's hope it's one that you can redeem yourself on. So let's spin the wheel and see what we get. No whammies, no whammies, no
I'm
whammies.
crossing my. No whammies! No whammies! I'm crossing my toes along with my fingers. You guys can't see, but Rob can see my fingers on here. I would never show anyone my feet. That's just rude. Unless you're in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Then what? Then in a Quentin Tarantino
He
movie?
likes feet. He likes
You're
feet. He's
talking about,
always showing
okay.
feet.
Sorry, I thought you were
Yeah,
talking
yeah.
about something about crossing fingers, and I couldn't remember that. That just didn't make any
No,
sense.
feet. Feet. I don't like feet. I think they're rude.
Okay.
Yeah,
Wait, so
it's a hot take, I
so you
know.
think that he's wrong, that Tarantino's wrong for liking to show feet?
I think he should do whatever makes him happy. If he likes feet, that's good for him. It's bad for me. And he's my favorite filmmaker, so so I have to tolerate it, but it's okay. I just hate feet. Even my own.
Okay.
Hey, I suck it up with the Hobbit feet and Lord of the Rings. I'm tough over here. I can do it.
That's fair. All right. So The original movie came out in 1925, and the remake came out in 1959.
I'm never gonna get this.
Okay, so it is about a prince who is betrayed and sent into slavery by his friend, and once he regains his freedom, he comes back for revenge.
Not even close to having a guess. There will be no redemption today. The rest of them were frustrating because I had ideas and I couldn't figure them out. This one, I don't even have a clue.
Okay,
So I'm not mad at myself right now.
the remake was made by William Wyler, 1959. And this is a
Prince.
movie that won 11 Oscars.
Oh, now that's very helpful. Will you give me the synopsis one more time, please? I might be able to.
A prince is betrayed and sent into slavery by his friend. But once he regains freedom, he comes back for revenge.
Lawrence of Arabia?
No, that was 62.
I'm just sketty. And I was thinking lots of Oscars. Ben-Hur.
Yes, very good.
Ha-ha!
That is correct. So Ben-Hur from 1925 is the full title is Ben-Hur: A Tale of the Christ. It probably stars nobody who you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
It was directed by no one you've ever heard of.
Also.
And then the 1959 remake is the one that won 11 out of, I think, 13 or 14 Oscars, making it.
That's what got me there too. I admit I've never seen it, so
Oh,
I'm
you should see
that.
it. It's long. It's 3.5 hours long.
I know.
You
I know.
know.
I know. It's on there. I still have one other really big cinemas in, and I have a few. I still haven't seen Casablanca from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
That's terrible.
I've seen the whole movie. I've just never seen it all in one sitting, which I know is utterly bizarre.
It
And
is
now it's, I think I'm at
very
a point where I'm almost like, I think I should just continue never watching it from start to finish just to be stubborn and weird.
bizarre. Oh, you're going to be one of those people?
No.
Like I have a friend.
Not
I have a
really.
friend. I haven't spoken to him in years. I don't know specifically if he ever has redeemed himself, but like he refused to watch Shawshank on
Oh
principle.
no, I'm not actually going to refuse to watch it. I do have resistance sometimes for when I constantly get told I need to do something, but that's just a me thing. That's not, it doesn't actually stop me from doing anything. Maybe in brevity, but not long term. I do what I want. No, I just haven't been motivated to. I mean, I've watched Citizen Kane twice.
And did you like it?
Once I appreciated it.
Okay. The first time I
I
saw it, I fell asleep.
Yeah, it's boring. It's really boring. That's why I watched it the second time. I was like, maybe it was me. Maybe blah blah blah. Watched it again and I was like, no, it's pretty boring.
No,
But I appreciate
it was better
exactly
the
what it.
second time. It was better the second time I watched.
I didn't enjoy it more the second time, but I was looking at it more with a cinematic eye as opposed to a I just am a movie fan and want to be entertained. The second time I was looking at it as, all right, I'm seeing what this has done in to change film and how it's impacted how movies are made today, and I can respect that. But no, I don't enjoy it and I will never watch it again. But I get it. I absolutely get it. Now, Casablanca, what I've seen of it, I've actually enjoyed. It's silly. It's not like I wasn't entertained or anything like
Wait,
that. I
the
just
movie is
never
silly,
went
or
back.
what's or it's silly that you haven't rewatched it?
It's silly that I haven't gone back to see it when I enjoyed it.
Especially since it's so prominent when Harriet's Sally. Come on.
Exactly. It's crazy, but
You know,
that's why I
what would
will
Sally
I'll
Albright think
con
about the fact that you've never seen Casablanca?
she'd be very upset with
I think
me.
she would be. I
I
believe that
also
she would
don't order all my food on the side, so we'd have problems there too.
be. Okay. And you probably also don't have days of the week underwear like she does. Yeah. Because they
No,
just
but I
don't make
do
Sunday.
because of God.
That's
I love her so much. Oh, Meg Ryan, so delightful.
Okay, so Heather, is there anything else you want to say about this movie in general?
No, just thank you for having me on and giving me the motivation to rewatch it after all these years and get to really enjoy it. And now I have motivation to take my husband down the 70s crime thriller rabbit hole
Excellent.
because he's going to enjoy it.
Excellent. And now that I've given you more homework, which again, it's a secret, so don't tell anybody what it is yet, but it's going to take you time to get through that homework. So
Yeah. Yeah, it
Start
is.
now.
I'm gonna have to actually because I just don't watch TV or movies like I used to. So
There you go.
I'm definitely gonna start soon.
That's right.
And I'm going to motivate my brother to do it with me. So he'll be done way before me.
All right. Well, he's welcome to come on either as a guest with you or separately if he wants. Let
Maybe
him know.
I will have him on. I've had him on a few of my shows over the
But again,
years. He's
maybe he
fun.
wants to do it solo, which is also fine.
He wouldn't do it solo. No, he wouldn't do it solo.
Oh, but come on, tell him it's me. Tell him it's me.
He would just enjoy
Tell
the
him I'm
opportunity to
gentle.
sit next to me. He wouldn't care about that. He just wants to take he'll want to take the opportunity to antagonize me while we sit next to each other
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
our
trying to
shows
be
are
well
long enough
behaved.
as is, but if you add your brother to it, they're going to be even longer.
It's very true.
So we'll see. All right. So Heather, would you like to one final time this season tell people where they can find Heather Baxendale?
You can find me on heatherbaxendale.com. You can find all my books on there. They are fun fantasy adventures, exciting, lots of fun dialogue. If you like dialogue, I love writing dialogue. You can also find my podcast on there, Word of Hellmouth. It is a Buffy rewatch show. We are on season four of Buffy and season one of Angel. And you can check me out at A Pot of Wings and Filth, where a friend of mine, we read fantasy books and we deep dive into them, and it's a ton of fun. All of my socials are on there, so you can follow me and stay updated on all the stuff I do. I'm a busy gal.
It's always good to be busy.
Yeah, when you're doing the stuff you love. I love it.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Heather, thank you very much once again for joining me. I'll see you again in a few months when you come back. Until then,
Azunite.